Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We've had a wonderful and a restful weekend. Been looking at the first letter of John the last few weeks. The church has given us excerpts, readings from John in the first reading at Mass each day. And John's first letter is, first of all, it's beautiful. It's inspiring. It's wonderful. John puts his finger on the essence of Christianity here, the essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What's at the heart of the life of the church? What's the church proclaiming? What's the church bringing to the world? He calls us to understand the essence of it, partly because he's addressing a problem here in the religious communities that he has some responsibility for, that some folks had been members of the community, it seems like, have gone out from them, have left the community. They're false teachers, false prophets. And so what he does is he uses the letter in part to draw a picture of the larger battle that the church is always facing and to help underline the central themes that are a part of the Christian life and to undergird the confidence of believers as to the truth that they're communicating. He's reasserting the truth in the face of false claims, false prophets. He calls them antichrist spirit at work in the Christian community. So I want to just touch on some of these elements today, some of the themes, and then dive into today's reading at some, which is 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, up through chapter 4, verse 6. But if you ask the question, what is the essence of Christianity? Really, what's at the heart of it? People have a lot of different ideas about it. What's really at its root? Some people might say Christianity is like a personal moral code. It's a higher form of the Old Testament Ten Commandments. You know, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, be nice to people. Others might say it's a philosophy of life alongside Platonism or Confucianism or any other kind of philosophy. It's not even a set of truth statements about God, the creed or the catechism, which are absolutely essential, obviously. It's not a particular way of praying, even the Mass, the rosary, private prayer. It's not a way to help people just being better, doing good things. It's not a social service organization primarily. It's not a humanitarian plan for the betterment of society as a whole. Let's make the world a better place, abolish slavery, eradicate hunger, and the rest of it. Yes, the church is involved in all of these things in one way or another, but they're not of its essence. They're expressions and they're outcomes of the essence of the Christian life and the claim that John is so clearly articulating here. So what's its essence? What is it that has captured so many people from every tribe and nation, language from around the world the past 2,000 years and continues today to capture the hearts of men and women? At its core, Christianity is new life. It's an entirely different kind of life than we've ever seen, that we've ever touched. It's eternal life. As John would say, the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. So he'll repeat it over and over again. He'll say very simply, what is it that God has promised to us? He's promised to us eternal life. And that life is in his Son. He'll say later in the letter that he who has the Son has life. He who is not the Son does not have life. So the gift that God is giving, what the church is proclaiming, what he begins the whole letter with, we touched on the beginning of last week, maybe the week before, he said, what we've seen, what we've touched, what we've heard, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. That's the beginning of the letter. And then throughout the letter, he helps us lay hold of, well, how does one gain access to that eternal life? And what is it exactly? Well, the eternal life is the life of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the incarnation of Jesus, he truly is the Son of God, John underlines again and again. What he brings to human flesh and to the human existence is the life of God, the eternal life that was with the Father. And John says to us that what that means is because Jesus came in the flesh and because he died and rose again and has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism, we now are temples of God, and we're born again by water and the Spirit and baptism, and we become children of God. And what that means, he says, is we now have a capacity, and we have the opportunity. We've been enabled by God's action and God's mercy to enter into fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That Christianity is all about, in its essence, human beings being brought from death to life. And throughout the letter, John will make the contrast between those who have life and those who don't have life, those who are in the kingdom of God and those who aren't, those who are under the power of Jesus Christ and those who are being influenced by the Antichrist. He touches on these contrasts that every believer has to come to terms with and that are at work in the world, that contrast between light and darkness, between truth and error, between love and hate, between life and death, and again, between Christ and the Antichrist. So he gives us a clear picture of how we access this life. And we access it by being united to Jesus first in baptism and having the stain of original sin removed. And we're made holy by the washing and the cleansing of our lives in baptism by the blood of Jesus Christ. As Paul would say in Romans chapter 6, each one of us who are baptized, we are crucified with Christ. We're united to the cross of Jesus. That's the instrument through which Jesus Christ destroyed the power of sin and death. And that happened because he became, what John even touches on here, an expiation for our sin. He became a sacrifice that took away sin, and his blood cleanses us from that stain of sin and begins the process of total transformation. And the cleansing makes it possible for us to draw near to God, or for God to draw near to us and to come and dwell in us. So you can see how the apostles are so clear that really this initial gift of salvation is just that. It's a total gift. It's a work of God in us that we receive. We don't merit that initial grace of God that brings us from death to life. And so John wants us to see the source of it. And he says, so those who are baptized into Christ and then those who walk in his love, those who obey his words, those who internalize and live the commandments are already living that life. And he talks about it as abiding in him. Of course, referring back to his own teaching in the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Really, we're branches that live from Christ the vine. The sap that flows through the vine, the life of God flows through him to each one of us who are baptized into Christ. And so he says, abide in me. Really what he means by that is to remain in him, to live in him, to walk in him, to internalize his word. It means to stay in him, to reside in him. All those different kinds of terms point to the reality of what it means for us to surrender ourselves to the work of God within us. That's at work each day. If you've been baptized into him, God is at work in you. There's a new power and a new capacity in you to live a new way of life. He won't force you to do that, but this power and this reality, John reminds us, is in us. And if we walk in a way that we're abiding in Jesus, that means we're living in him and we're relying on him. We're drawing from his word. We're drawing from the Spirit. We're walking in conversation with him. We're internalizing his teaching. What's going to happen is we're going to begin to grow. We're going to bear fruit. And as he says in the gospel, we will bear fruit that will last. So these are central themes for John. And today's reading touches on some of his teaching about the Antichrist. But I'll just read chapter 3, verse 22 and following for us. So he says, beloved, we receive from him whatever we ask because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. It's really a good description of what it means to be a disciple. What is a disciple? Someone who keeps the commandments of God, who walks in the law of the Lord, and we do what pleases him. That's now the central motive of our lives. And we evaluate everything in our lives, our relationships, our work, our goals, our recreation. The whole of our lives are related to this fundamental orientation. Am I living in a way that pleases the Lord? That's what it means to be a disciple in the heart, right? And he said, and his commandment is this, we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So, as I've said many times in the program, Jesus' love language, if you will, is rooted right here. It's an obedience to the commandments. He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, just like he himself witnessed to the point of death. He obeyed the Father and trusted and surrendered his life to him right till the end. And so the commandments are not just the external laws written on the tablets, the Ten Commandments. It includes those, but it's much deeper in the New Testament. The new law of the New Testament is that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the very life of God that is poured into our hearts, St. Paul tells us, to give us the love of God at the core of our being, and a power and a capacity now to be able to see that love, to receive it, to live in it, and it tenderizes our hardened hearts, and it makes it possible for us to love God in response to His first, as John would say in this letter, He first loved us. So what it means then to live in His commandments here, John touches on, he says that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're commanded by God to believe. And belief is what? Is it just a way of knowing in our mind? No, it's believing the truth about who Jesus is, which John makes clear to us the Antichrist won't do. The Antichrist spirit leads people to believe lies about Christ or to deny the truth about who Christ is. But this belief is not only knowing the truth and confessing the truth, but it's surrendering our lives to a person and walking with Him day in and day out in this abiding that John puts his finger on. He says, goes on to say, those who keep His commandments remain in Him and He in them. And the way we know that He remains in us is from the Spirit whom He gave us. So remaining in Him, it's another way of describing abiding in Him. So I'm abiding in Him if I'm walking in His commandments. And they're alive in me and they're alive in my heart. And I want to internalize it because I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and I want to be at His service because I belong to Him now. And the way we know that He remains in us is by this gift of the Holy Spirit that we've been given at baptism. The promise, Jesus said, I will be with you always. And this is one, the most fundamental way that He's with us always is that now He's made His home in us. And the Spirit has been given us to give us counsel, to lead us, to give us a new power and a new capacity, as I said, to live that new way of life. He goes on, he said, beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God. So then John, he lays the foundation, the beginning of this section, what it means for us to abide in Christ and really to belong to Him and live in a way that pleases Him. And then he reminds us that we live as Christians every day in spiritual combat. And there's spiritual forces at work. There's a battle between the two kingdoms. And what it requires of us is that we be discerning, that we exercise spiritual discernment. Because our enemy, the devil, seeks to deceive us. And he describes what was happening in the Christian communities. He was aware of that false prophets begin to emerge. And what they did was they denied the truth that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That is, that He is the Son of God, second person of the Trinity. And here's where the spiritual warfare begins, because the true Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father and the Son, comes to us to reveal Jesus to every human heart and to confirm His lordship and majesty and that He indeed is the Son of God. The Antichrist spirit is happy for us to see Jesus as a great moral teacher, a spiritual guru, a great philosopher, but not God's Son come in the flesh, His only begotten Son. Friends, we'll take this up again tomorrow. Hope you can join us. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.